This is Todd Sommerfeld. I'm a sales agronomist for CHS in Crookston, Minnesota. We are pleased to bring you the update from the Red River Farm Network, CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Tyler Donaldson, along with Jamie Dickerman and Randy Conan. The U.S. Midwest will see several rounds of well-organized precipitation over the next couple of weeks. However, World Weather Incorporated says no major winter storms or heavy rain events are expected. Weekend precipitation will mainly occur in the eastern Corn Belt, while another round of moisture will occur from southeastern South Dakota through Kansas into the eastern Corn Belt.
Snow accumulation in the northern plains over the next 2 weeks will be limited to the far southwestern part of the region. World Weather Incorporated says that will leave some areas of winter wheat without proper snow cover as sub-zero temperatures occur over the next 2 weeks. Temperatures will drop into the single digits below zero late next week and continue through the second week of January.
Slow-moving system is moving north after lightly dusting the Bismarck area this morning. Bismarck National Weather Service meteorologist Jeff Schild said most areas only saw as much as an inch of rain and some freezing rain.
It's slowly actually exiting the area into Saskatchewan and Manitoba, just lifting on its way. We did get with the system a little bit of snow in some areas. Actually, a lot of reports of around a quarter, half inch, just, you know, kind of a dusting of snow. But there's also a little bit of freezing drizzle, maybe a tad bit of freezing rain, but we have not heard of any real adverse impacts with that. So it's quite light, probably led to some slippery roads here and there. Unfortunately, in its wake, we've had some fog redevelop.
And Shield says temperatures should drop next week.
Into the weekend, actually, does not look too bad. Highs, you know, ranging from around 30 degrees over along northern portions of North Dakota to, you know, the lower to mid 40s over the southwest. Sunday, a little bit cooler, 20s in the north. As we get going into Sunday night into Monday, we do have a storm system that seems to stay more towards the central plains, moves on through. A little bit of snow from this may creep into the southern half of North Dakota, but at this point, it looks like it should stay quite light, the brunt of that storm.
2 weeks. World Weather Incorporated says the rest of Brazil will see regular rounds of rain, keeping soil conditions favorable for crop development. The exception is far southern Brazil and Paraguay, where dry conditions will prevail. More moisture will be needed in those areas to prevent increasing crop stress. Argentina will continue to see more sunshine than rain, but temperatures will remain cool enough to prevent rapid soil dry down.
According to Dr. Michael Cordonier of Soybean and Corn Advisor, the weather in Brazil continues to be very good for growing soybeans.
They had some rain again this week across central Brazil and more in the forecast, so they're getting plenty of rain in Brazil. Now, there's only two areas that could use a shower, and that is the far southern state of Rio Grande do Sul and then parts of Bahia. And in Rio Grande do Sul, the driest part is the southern half of the state, but most of the soybeans grow in the northern half of the state. So I think Brazil is doing quite good.
Cordonier says the weather in Argentina is a different story.
They had a few showers this week, favored the western areas. Some dryness is remaining across central Argentina. Now, they've had enough rain so far for the early crop planting and development, all that sort of thing. But the forecast is now calling for drier than normal and warmer than normal, at least for the next 2 weeks. And that makes for somewhat of a concern in Argentina. Now, the soybeans are probably about 85-90% planted. Corn maybe 75-80%. So I continue to think the weather in Argentina is somewhat worrisome, whereas Brazil, they're heading towards a record crop in Brazil for sure.
As 2025 approaches, growers are weighing multiple factors from crop quality to policy changes while preparing for another unpredictable growing season. CHS Ag Services sales manager Andrew Schultz says 2024 was another unique year.
Some people are probably doing their best to balance that. Probably been a little bit more unique this year than other years. And then, you know, with some of the government payment, I'd say uncertainty, right? Whether it's going to be X amount on on planted acre, prevent plant acre, and what that dollar amount per crop started out at to what it sounds like it's going to be.
Schultz says looking ahead to spring planting, many farmers, because of the price uncertainty, are undecided on what they'll be planting.
Nothing, I would say, outside of sugar beets, you know, pencils the greatest. So one thing that we've seen is, you know, growers are somewhat undecided between wheat and beans, especially.
Schultz says he sees weather being a big key factor in whether we see more wheat acres or soybean acres next year.
Contract negotiations between the International Longshoremen's Association and the U.S. Maritime Alliance fell apart in November, just after reaching a temporary extension for an existing labor agreement. With that extension set to expire in just over 2 weeks, U.S. Meat Export Federation President and CEO Dan Hallstrom says there's a lot of uncertainty in exports ahead of a potential strike.
On the pork side, 45% of our waterborne exports go off the East or Gulf Coast. And on the beef side, 30% of our waterborne exports originate from either the Gulf or the East Coast ports. For every week of a potential shutdown, it would be a loss in excess of $100 million just on beef and pork exports.
Hallstrom says movers and shippers are already looking to divert cargo.
We've known at this date of January 15th now for several months, so while that's the final date, the trade is already reacting. We already have exporters, I'm sure, diverting cargo or planning to divert cargo. Ocean carriers are anticipating that, so we already have surcharges in place, and probably there will be more in place between now and the 15th of January. And a lot of our cargo is refrigerated. So there's also the very real possibility that prior to January 15th, a lot of these ports may stop accepting refrigerated cargo just because of the uncertainty around the contract.
This is the Red River Farm Network.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network, a quiet trading day in the final Friday of the year. Dwayne Bossy with Bolt Marketing says after the gains in the corn yesterday, unchanged in corn would be okay today.
That was a nice up move yesterday. A close above 450, a close above the 200-day moving average. So technically, was a very good and strong day yesterday. Yeah, ideally you want to see the follow through buying, but as long as we're not giving it all right back in a typical holiday trade, I'll take it for the corn market. But yeah, soybeans, there's a little bit of pressure, you know, rallied a little bit, and seems like that market always kind of comes back to somebody bearish talking about the huge crop of the Brazil coming in the near future, and that always seems to weigh on the soybean market.
Bossy says we're seeing a bit of mixed trade in the livestock markets today.
Live cattle act strong. They act like what I assume is going to happen too. I think cash cattle news is going to break later this afternoon and probably going to be steady to a couple dollars higher, where that's pretty good because going into this week we were thinking of even steady money would be good. So box beef was sharply higher yesterday afternoon, over $4 up on the choice. So that's landing to the support there. And remember, these futures are still at a discount to the cash market, so that's giving it support as well.
AgMarket.net analyst Keenan Layden says the corn market continues to hang on to Thursday's gains.
Holding on to some of those levels where it hasn't been at in quite a while. So this is probably the first time corn has traded above its 200-day moving average in 6 months. So it was just new on the chart, especially that March corn contract, which is good to see. So corn stays constructive here, and, you know, exports stay strong. Exports came in today. Corn was at 1.7 million metric tons, which was probably the strongest of all the exports for today. So hopefully corn can keep this going and be constructive.
USDA's weekly export sales report for the week ending December 19th shows old and new crop year corn sales of 1.72 million metric tons. That's 46% more than the previous week and 37% more than the four-week average. Combined old and new crop soybean sales of 1.1 million metric tons is 23% less than the previous week and 42% below the four-week average. Net old and new crop wheat sales of 625,000 metric tons is 36% more than the previous week and 67% more than the four-week average.
Well, the markets have kind of been in a holiday holding pattern, but a little more movement here the last couple of days. Al Kleiss with Kleiss Commodities watching the corn market in particular.
Yeah, we've had a pretty decent rally here in corn. We closed here. It's going to be The highest close on nearby corn futures since last June, so that on my charts looks good. With that said, we're now about a nickel away from what I think could be pretty major resistance. Soybeans hit very hard last week. This week we're attempting to gain back. Had a nice 15-cent gain on Thursday, down 5 cents in the early trade. And the wheat market is traded on both sides, currently 3 to 4 cents higher. So it is a holiday market, lower volume, but we've seen pretty active markets.
Give and take for the livestock today?
They're orderly and higher. We're seeing the hogs were down most of the morning, but now we've turned higher. We're 20 cents higher in Feb hogs. Cattle, feeder cattle, supported well. Strong economy, good demand, low energy prices. So that's very encouraging. It's really encouraging to see the livestock able to trade higher, even though the stock market's getting hit pretty hard.
AgWatch Market Advisors President Dewey Strickler says dollar valuation is impacting demand.
The dollar has risen about 8% since October, and March corn has risen just a little over 12% during that same time. So I think you're going to start seeing the sales here begin to taper off here in corn. Wheat, you know, is up a little bit today. A little bit disappointed in wheat, however, because the fundamentals are the most positive in wheat of the three grains, but it has the weakest technical action here. So, you know, you can attribute that to year-end position squaring or whatever you want to. You know, it'll be at the first year before we get back to normal.
A commercial turkey flock in Burnett County, Wisconsin, near the Minnesota border, has been hit with highly pathogenic avian influenza, affecting more than 18,500 birds. A 10-kilometer control area is in place to prevent the disease's spread. Last week, the Wisconsin Department of Health Services confirmed the state's first human case of H5N1 in a Barron County worker exposed to an infected flock. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Let's catch up with Ag Week editor Jenny Schlecht. Jenny, what's on the cover of Ag Week this week?
On this week's Ag Week cover, Ann Bailey is looking at barley. Barley, of course, was once a very major crop in the U.S. and in the Northern Plains, but it's been changing. And this year, U.S. harvested barley acreage fell to the lowest amount since 1876. Now, of course, yields have increased immensely since that time, so it's still more barley than we were producing in the late 1870s, but barley has changed, barley production has changed, agriculture has changed, with more people going to growing corn and soybeans in this region. So Ann looked at why that is, what has changed, and of course demand is much different with livestock feed not coming from barley anymore, as well as the demand for beer really dropping, which was shown, of course, with Anheuser-Busch closing their Moorhead plant and moving their production to Shakopee for the next year. And she also looked at kind of the future. And the North Dakota Barley Council is still really strong on barley. They've unanimously asked the legislature to increase the checkoff. But conversely, Minnesota, not so much. Their acreage has fallen so much that growers have actually decided to terminate the checkoff for Minnesota barley. So it will be interesting to see what happens going forward.
Sounds interesting. Looking forward to reading about it next week's Ag Week.
Checking quotes, March wheat Minneapolis is at 5.96 and a quarter, up 2.25 cents. March wheat Chicago up a nickel, 5.46 even. Kansas City's March hard red winter wheat contract, 2.5 cents higher at 5.54 even. March corn sitting at 4.53 3/4 even on the day. January soybeans down 8 cents, 9.80. In Winnipeg, January canola is up $4.80 per metric ton at 6.24.80 Canadian. February live cattle is up 57 cents, 1.90.67. January feeders is up $1.67 at 2.60.97. February lean hogs down 2 cents, now a nickel at 84.15. Have a great weekend out there. You are listening to the Red River Farm Network.